Facebook mailbag time. I'm Drew Doherty with Nick Scherfield here in the big boardroom at Reliance Stadium. Nick, we're answering questions from fans that they sent in via Facebook, like this one from Andrew R. Miles. He wants to know, do you have any plans to play in London? The Texans are not playing in London this year. However, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to play in London this year and the next for sure. Texans could be on that, I suppose, as an away game. But that hasn't been made public yet. But there's always that possibility down the line, just not in 2013.
Yeah, Texans chairman and CEO Bob McNair has indicated he's willing to do that. In previous years, he said that, but it wouldn't be sacrificing a home game. The Texans have sold out every home game in franchise history, and obviously it's a big advantage for the team to be playing at home. So he's open to it as long as it's, you know, sacrificing a road game instead. Could be, you know, a game instead of going to Jacksonville, they go to London to play the Jaguars. That is a possibility. We'll see. As for Drew and I personally, I don't have any plans to play in London in the near future. I would like to visit. I've never been, but one of these days, I'd like to make a trip out there.
Me too. Ditto. Everything he said, I haven't been, but I would like to. John O'Miller, how's this one? What's the Texans' actual salary cap going into free agency? That's a brilliant question, and it's a question that maybe two, perhaps three people know. Rick Smith, Chris Olsen, and maybe one or two other people in the entire building, because everything you read from different websites and different entities, they'll say a number that the Texans have remaining on the cap or under the cap. They don't know that for sure because a lot of contracts have variables in them, clauses that if you do this, you get X amount of dollars, and not all that stuff is made totally public.
Yeah, and room can be freed up, you know, by negotiating and extending contracts of veteran players, key guys, you know, of other things they can do to, you know, front load or back load money. So it could be very fluid, but the Texans don't actually release that information, and that's been their policy. They won't do it. Most teams don't. The number you've kind of seen is around $6.5 million, I think, a lot of places. I think it's fair to assume that's about right, but, you know, what exactly is it?
Right.
Nobody really knows, like Drew said, except for a few people, Bob McNair included in that group. But it does look like the Texans don't have a ton of money to spend once again as free agency approaches.
Right.
Main focus will probably be on re-signing their key guys like Logan Quinn, Connor Barwin, maybe Bryce McCain, and then adding some guys here and there, but probably not going to see a big splash out of the Texans in free agency this year.
Got a big shot question from Samuel Colt Winchester. It's a good name. With all my research I've done, Marquise Goodwin is the player I want for our team. He has excellent speed and can spread the field. My question for you guys, Nick and Drew, is do you guys believe he will fall that low in the first round for us to draft him? P.S. Who impressed you guys the most at the combine receivers-wise? Well, to answer the first part of your question, nobody I've really seen has Marquise Goodwin going anywhere in the first round. Very few have him projected to go into the second round. Texans may consider him, but if they were, it would probably be a third round or later pick. I don't, however, see them going after a guy like Goodwin. Not to say he's not a great player, but just scheme-wise, fit. Goodwin's got world-class speed. He's a great leaper, but I don't see him coming here.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's probably not going to go in the first round, like you just said, Drew. I mean, almost nobody has him going there. That seems like it would be a reach. You look at his production, not a lot of it at the University of Texas. He's a classic Oakland Raiders Al Davis type of pick that we saw for so many years. You know, didn't do a lot on the field, but he's got world-class speed. He's an Olympic long jumper. You know, he cleared, I think he got 11 feet in the broad jump at the combine. I was sitting right there as he did that. 4.27 in the 40, one of the fastest times on record at the combine. He's got speed. The Texans are looking for speed, another guy who can stretch the field. He's a smaller guy than their typical receiver, around 5'9". You know, not their prototypical type of guy, but, you know, it wouldn't be a shock. Maybe second, third round. I don't even know if he's going to go that high, but we'll have to see. I think some team's going to jump on him earlier than he probably should go as a value just because of his speed and how athletic he is. So we'll see. Something tells me that team might not be the Texans, but he is the kind of guy in terms of the speed he has that the Texans could certainly use.
And then as far as the guys that impressed me the most at the combine, I'd have to still go with Louisiana Tech's Quentin Patton and Tennessee's Justin Hunter. He's a guy they nicknamed Gumby. He's tall. He can leap. And he was very productive last season.
Yeah, Justin Hunter, a player that really impressed me as well. His interview, you just kind of walked away from his interview with the media with a good feeling.
He kind of reminded me. He was smiling the whole time.
He did the entire time. I don't think he stopped smiling, which is probably hard to do for a 10-minute press conference. But kind of reminded me of Whitney Merciless a little bit in that vein last year, personality-wise at least. And he had a great combine running a 4.44. He's 6'4", 190-something pounds. He also, I think, was around 40 inches in the vertical jump. and jumped farther than Marquise Goodwin, an Olympic long jumper, in the broad jump, 11'4", almost a record, 1 inch off the NFL combine record. So he was very impressive to me. And I also think Tavon Austin, extremely impressive. You know, again, maybe not the Texans kind of player, a smaller guy, you know, a dynamic playmaker, though. And, I mean, he had a great combine, unofficially clocked, I think, what was it, 4.25 in the 40, ended up being a 4.34, but very impressive in all his measurables, and he looked very quick in all the drills, as all the people who evaluate this better than you and I say, and a guy who looks like he's going to be an explosive playmaker for somebody.
All right, Cesar Escandon has this. Hi, Nick and Drew. Do you think we will see more of Case Keenum this year? Thanks, Cesar. No, I don't. I think we'll see him in OTAs and maybe training camp, get some reps, but he's the third quarterback right now. He's also got to compete with T.J. Yates and another guy, Stephen Magee, from formerly of the Texas A&M Aggies, as well as the Dallas Cowboys. So don't think you're going to see Case Keenum unless a couple guys went down to injury, but that's not to say the Texans don't like his long-term future.
Yeah, Gary Kubiak has said many times he thinks Case Keenum has a future in the NFL, and obviously nobody else thought that. He went undrafted out of the University of Houston. Maybe some other teams would have signed him as an undrafted rookie, but he ended up in Houston where he played his college ball, where he was the all-time passer in NCAA history. And Kubiak was very impressed with him last offseason. He said at the combine as well that he feels very good about Case Keenum and T.J. Yates, their ability to push Matt Schaub. You know, there may be a full-on competition for that backup job between Keenum and T.J. Yates, and you can't rule out Stephen Magee as well this offseason. So you might see him more, but Matt Schaub's going to get more reps this offseason. He was coming back off the foot injury last year, didn't participate in OTA, so Keenum actually might have played more last offseason than he will this offseason. But it sounds like the Texans are very keen on his future and what he could possibly do as a long-term quarterback.
See what you did there. All right, our next one from Kevin Harrison says, hey, Drew and Nick, just wanted to give a shout-out from Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana. I was wondering when we will know the Texans' full schedule for the 2013 season. Well, first of all, Kevin, thanks for everything you do there in the Air Force, and we shout right back at you and all your armed service men and women brethren. We're thankful for what you guys are doing now and what the guys that served before you did then. As far as the schedule goes, we'll find that out around mid-April, about a week or two before the draft comes out. We know who the Texans will play next year. We just don't know when they will play them.
Yeah, there's never an exact date of when the schedule is going to be released. You kind of find out a few days beforehand because someone will, discover that TV Guide's, programming schedule or DirecTV's programming schedule has an NFL hour-long special on ESPN and NFL Network, yep, from 6 to 7 p.m. Then people kind of connect the dots, put the pieces together, and the league will make that known. It's probably going to be in mid-April. That's when it usually is, and it's in prime time now. You'll be able to watch it live on television. You'll be able to watch it live on HoustonTexans.com as Texans coach Gary Kubiak talks about the team schedule. We've done that for the past few years. And, it's funny because every year you know who they're playing, you know where they're playing. You just don't know when, but it's become such a big event, so much anticipation. People want to plan out their trips, see who the Texans are playing in primetime. I know one thing, I got a feeling they're going to be playing a lot of games in primetime once again, as they did this last year.
Yes. And our final question from CC Contreras. I noticed that once Brian Cushing got hurt, our defense was not the same except for J.J. Watt. What inside linebacker at the combine impressed you the most that could be drafted to help out Cushing? CC, you're right. You're very observant. Before Cushing went down in those first 5 weeks, they were, top two, three in the
number
NFL?
Number one in the NFL for the first 4 weeks. And
afterwards,
13,
18.
Yeah. Or 18 in the last 11 weeks.
So clearly they struggled without Brian. As far as inside linebackers, I know you liked, and I know I liked, from LSU, Kevin Minter. Very impressive guy, and he's a guy that a lot of mock drafts have had the team taking in the first round.
Yeah, heading into the combine, we did a mock draft survey for HoustonTexans.com. We're going to continue to do those leading up to the draft every week, every 2 weeks. And there were 4 out of 17 mock drafts we looked at, some of the prominent ones around the web, that had Kevin Minter going to the Texans. And, I think there may be more now after the combine if he doesn't go higher. Some people think he may be a mid, top 15, top 20 pick, not be there when the Texans pick at 27. But a very sharp guy, a guy who said he met with the Texans at the combine. We were talking to him, and he said he would love to play for an organization like that. Very knowledgeable on the fact that the Texans had gone to the playoffs the last couple of years after only being around for 10 years or so. So he's a guy who, talking to some draft experts like Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com, thinks he could be a great fit for the Texans and, certainly could be a guy, as well as maybe Manti Te'o, who could be there at the end of the first round when the Texans are picking. It's going to be very interesting to see if he is in that scenario. Do the Texans take him? We know Gary Kubiak was impressed with Teo at the combine, and he seemed to handle his interviews and all the questions about his controversy very well. Could he be a Houston Texan? We'll have to wait and see.
Yes, we will. Speaking of being impressed, I've been impressed by the way you've dressed for the Friday Facebook mailbag the last month or so. You've kind of been trying to show me up, I think, by wearing a jacket, so that's why.
I don't have a tie.
That's why I'm wearing a tie, because I don't want him to show me up and one-up me. Nevertheless,
I don't know if you outdid me or if I outdid you, since you have a tie and probably a nicer shirt than me. But
I think we're negating each other because we're delivering for the fans, because you did a great job. I think I did an okay job.
You did a great job, too.
Thanks. I was fishing there for
and
a couple.
And Kyle Boberg, our fantastic videographer, maybe his last Friday Facebook mailbag. We wish him the best of luck.
He's done a great job shooting these and shooting all the video that you see on HoustonTexans.com for about the last 9 months or so. So, Kyle, best of luck to you in your new endeavor. And thank you all for watching the Friday Facebook mailbag.